Shavuot Shalom. Shavuot. Pentecost. Shavuot means weeks. It's either week. It's weeks.
Yeah, weeks.
Weeks. So it's the Feast of Weeks. Shavuot. Pentecost. It's all the same thing. So what's the point? What's the point of Pentecost? Obviously didn't spend a lot of time on the title for this week, but we are going to spend a lot of time today in God's Word. And we're going to be linking a lot of scriptures together, so hopefully you're going to lock in and hang with me, and you're going to see why we're going to look at a lot of scripture, hopefully, by the end of the message. But the point of Pentecost, as you know, is wrapped up in the fact that it represents the outpouring, of course, of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. But to get the point, we must understand what it is that the Holy Spirit does. What does it do? Okay? I mean, why are we celebrating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? I mean, why does it excite us? Why do we want the Holy Spirit? What does it do? What was it sent to accomplish? Right? Is it so that I can say, no. Is it flop around on the floor? Is that the reason why we have the Holy Spirit? Is that why we get excited? We're going to find out. So, we know that the Spirit, it's impossible for the Spirit to contradict Scripture, right? So, to answer those questions, why do we want it? Why are we here? Why are we excited? We need to examine the Scripture to see the answers, to get the answers, and that's what we're going to do today. So, to set the stage, it's been said before that that which is called the New Testament is really just commentary on the Hebrew Scriptures. And even the commentary on the life of Yeshua, the life of Yeshua was prophesied. Everything that Yeshua did, everything that he spoke came from the Father. That was all representative of the Hebrew Scriptures. So when we look at the Hebrew Scriptures, everything that is done in the New Testament is a reflection of the Hebrew Scriptures. Everything that transpired there was first prophesied to happen in the Hebrew Scriptures, including all that Yeshua did and said. And so anything then that we look at the New Testament and we interpret a certain way, if it doesn't line up with, if it hasn't been prophesied or directed in the Hebrew Scriptures, then we have a wrong interpretation. We're not quite looking at it right. We need to dig a little deeper. Okay? And that's just the way it is. So when something that is apparently new happens in the New Testament, like this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, well, it has to be validated in the Hebrew Scriptures. And this is why Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and instruction in righteousness. And he's saying here that it's all of it. I mentioned this last week, not some of it or just part of it. You can't look at Scripture, and what he's talking about here is the Hebrew Scriptures. You can't look at that and say, well, that part's just for the Jews. Or, you know, and start carving it apart. All Scripture is to be used for rebuking, teaching, correcting in righteousness. It's just like when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, it was the anniversary, was it not, of the law being given on Mount Sinai, right, to Israel. Okay, so the law was brought down, okay, from the mount on Pentecost. And when people noticed what was going on that day of Pentecost, notice what Peter said, what he started with in Acts 2. He said, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." So we're talking about Peter, and after the Holy Spirit came and he gave this sermon, if you will, that were 3,000 people. Okay, what did he start with? He said, this was his opening statement. Why? Because he's pointing right back to the Hebrew Scriptures. He went straight to Scripture. He didn't start that message by saying, hey, this is what Yeshua said was going to happen. He told us this was going to happen before it happened. And that would have been correct. But it wouldn't have held any weight to those Jews that he was talking to. Why do you think those 3,000 came so quickly? Because they were Jews. They had studied the Hebrew Scriptures. And so when they were revealed to them, they snapped right to it. That's what he started with, right? Scripture. Okay, and he continued, and it says, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God," and he's quoting Joel, "that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Remind me in discussion time, I want to talk about this a little bit more than I'm going to be able to in this message. "But your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." See, Pentecost, the idea of Pentecost, what Pentecost, it wasn't new, see? Because here it is in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, saying, you know, what was happening, that this is the this prophecy being fulfilled right here in your hearing. So as we go through Scripture today, I hope you're going to find that you're able to back up everything that you believe in terms of what the Holy Spirit does and why we're here with the Hebrew Scriptures. The Holy Spirit, again, is not some New Testament only new thing. We must remember that Paul and John and Peter and all of them that are going to give us these answers to what the Holy Spirit is and does, that they got those answers from the Hebrew Scriptures. Okay? That's where they got them. From the Hebrew Scriptures and from Yeshua, who represents the Hebrew Scriptures, the fulfillment of the Hebrew Scriptures. So it's the embodiment of them, right? Okay. So to begin to understand what the Holy Spirit is to do, what it really is for, let's look at what Yeshua himself said about the coming of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. He said, here we go. He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Mm-hmm. Now notice that. Right there, Yeshua himself, God himself in the flesh, told us exactly why the Holy Spirit is sent. It's right there in front of you. Why? To help us. How? What's it going to do? It's going to teach us all things and bring to remembrance or remind us as we're walking through life all of the things that Yeshua taught. So you might ask yourself, okay, well, that's great. That's what he said to these guys. But he taught them, right? Yeah, well, what good does that do us 2,000 years later when we haven't sat? And, you know, how's he going to remind us of something that we weren't there to hear, right? Well, what if there is a way for us to know everything that Christ taught his disciples? Then we can know and therefore be reminded of everything just as he said the Holy Spirit would remind them. So we need to ask ourselves if we're going to be reminded of what he taught, then Okay, the next question is, what did he teach them? Right? So what did he teach them? We don't have to guess about that. Yeshua revealed that in his prayer to the Father. We read it every year, right, at Passover, the actual Lord's Prayer. In John 17, Yeshua said, here's what he gave them. Here's what he taught them. I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. But he says right here plainly, I've given them your word. That's what he gave them. That's what he taught them, your word. So we know that that's what he gave them. And he said this, you know, long before the New Testament was written or thought up or whatever. So this is actually not the only time that Yeshua referred to the Torah as the word of God. Last time in Mark chapter 7, we talked about how the Pharisees were making the law of no effect by talking about Corban, that what we give, you know, instead of giving to our parents and honoring them as we should, we're giving it to God, and so it's Corban. Okay, so we read that, but I want you to notice in the last part of that, what is said here. He said, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other things such as you do. Doing what? It's making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down and many such things you do. So what we see here is a direct correlation, don't we, to the word of God as being the Torah, because he's addressing number 5 of the commandments, which is part of the Torah. He's specifically addressing commandments that they make of no effect, and he's saying that's the word of God. You're making the word of God of no effect. Okay? So, what we see then is that everything that we're to be reminded of that Yeshua taught the disciples, because he said that's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. It's going to remind us of everything Yeshua taught. What did he teach? He taught the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? It's the Torah. All that comes straight from the mouth of Yeshua. Okay? So here we see, you know, Messiah specifically calling the commandments of God as given to Moses the Word of God. Right? So, if the Spirit is to remind us of everything he taught, and we know from his prayer that he taught the Word of God, see, I'm going over this train of thought, and here he defines the Word of God as the law as given to Moses, then when we add all, we put all that together, all of this is Yeshua's words. What the Bible is really saying is that walking in the Spirit is truly walking in the law of God, in the Torah, walking according to the instructions that God revealed through the Hebrew scriptures. Why? Because that is what Yeshua himself said is what the Spirit is to remind us of. And I know we've read Jeremiah 31:31 a million times, so I won't go there, but I want you to think about how perfectly that lines up or ties in with what we're talking about here, because Jeremiah said that the new covenant is all about writing that law on our hearts, on our inward parts. We talked a lot about inward parts last week or the week before, whenever that was, okay? Yeshua referred to that law as the Word of God. So we can say that the new covenant is all about writing the Word of God on our hearts, right? And at Pentecost, at Sinai, God gave the law. He gave the instructions. He gave the teachings. That's what they are. They're teachings. But in the New Testament Pentecost, what did we get? On Sinai, we got the teachings. And today we get the teacher. Get the teacher. Okay? The teacher doesn't do away with the teachings. The teacher comes and expands the teachings. Okay? You can get the textbook, and then the teacher comes and explains to you how that actually works, how it applies, how you, you know, make it work in your life, and what it really means, right? The teacher doesn't come and say, oh, well, the textbook, that's been done away. All you have to do is just believe in me. How are you going to learn anything? You're not. Okay? I want you to notice what Ezekiel prophesied. This is a key scripture for us today. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. You think Pentecost is new? Ezekiel said this how long ago? He's going to give us a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to... See? There it is again. I'm going to put my spirit in you. Why? What's the purpose? To cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will. You will keep my judgments and do them. You will shema. You will hear them and do. I mean, I read this and it's just, I think it's crystal clear. I don't know how you expound on this any further. The spirit that is put in us according to the Word of God is there to cause us to walk in what? In God's statutes and judgments, in His instructions. To proclaim them done away? No. No. He says, and do them. So clearly, walking in the Spirit is directly synonymous with walking according to God's law. And the Spirit is given to teach and bring it to mind. He said it will bring to remembrance these things, right? And so first we've got to get those teachings in us, right? So, you know, you need to get your textbook and then invite the teacher in to teach you. And that's why Paul said this in Romans chapter 7. We're going to click through. We're on slide 8 of 30. I find then a law that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law in my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law which is in my members. Now he's talking about two different laws here, isn't he? He says one's in his members, one's in his, he's all over the place, right? Okay? So he can't be talking about the same law all the time because they're... Right? Okay, keep that in mind. He says, I'm a wretched man. I need to be delivered from one of these laws. Okay? It's because it's a body of death. He says, I thank God through Messiah Yeshua our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Two different laws, right? Okay, there's the law of God, and then there's the law of sin. The law of sin and death. When he talks about a law here, you got to understand in the Greek, there's only one word for law. In the Hebrew, there's seven of them. But when you get into the Greek, there's only one. So every time that he's trying to say law, it's the same thing. You have to take it by context. So when he's talking about a law, he's talking about a truth. He's talking about a... That's the best way to put it. It's a truth. It's something, a truth so solid that it's a law, right? Okay? And so he's talking about this law that's about this war that's going on in his mind that's so real and so truthful that it's a law. It's waging war against the law of my mind. Okay? Now, I want you to recall then the words of Yeshua we read in John 14 where he said that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything he said. Where's that happening? It's happening in your mind. And so what did he say? He said, like he prayed, he spoke the Word of God. Okay? Which is what? The Torah. So the Spirit brings everything of the law to our minds to help us, to teach us, to remind us to walk in obedience. I want you to see how Paul kind of ties some of this together. It's in the next chapter, Romans chapter 8. He says that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You get that? See, that the Spirit is there to bring to remembrance. Then what are we setting our minds on if we're listening to the Spirit? The things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, the law of sin and death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The things which the Spirit brings to remembrance in our life, in our minds. Because the carnal mind, the one without that Spirit, is at war with God. He said he had a war in his mind. That's enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God. It can't be. Because the Spirit isn't there to bring it to remembrance. It's not even subject to it. It's not even on its radar. Okay? So then those who are in the flesh, they're not going to please God. They're not following His law. They're not doing, you know. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. He says, if anybody doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. That's why he can say, hey, you did all these things, but I never knew you. Right? Because why? They were practicing lawlessness. Okay? So notice how in verse 7, the mind that is not led by the Spirit is what? Hostile to God. Not even able to follow the law. Why? Because the Spirit isn't there. Because that's what the Spirit is there for. So one might say, well, how do I follow the law if I don't even know all the law? How can I be reminded of something if I haven't, you know, studied it all yet, if I don't have it all yet? Well, you know, understand that it's the Spirit even, that if you're even asking that question, it's the Spirit prompting you to ask that question, right? Because you wouldn't even care. And because, like I said last time, it's God that writes on our hearts. We're not writing it. God's writing it, okay? And so when you are listening to that Spirit, when you're not grieving that Spirit, when you're listening to it, you are drawn, right, to the law. You are drawn to the Word. You desire it. And this is actually what Paul addresses in the first part of Romans 7. He says, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law of sin and death, these are my insertions as I wrote on here, which were aroused by the law of sin and death, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Of course. But now we've been delivered from the law of sin and death, having died to what we were held by, so that we could serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter from before. And so, okay, let's break this verse down, because many interpret this to mean that we're now released from God's laws given by Moses by way of the Spirit. But when you understand with close examination that he's referring to the law of sin and death, then we understand that, what is that? That's disobedience. We know that because Yeshua calls it lawlessness. It's just disobedience. So what have we truly died to? What have we died to? The law? No. We've died to the law of sin and death. Because was it the law that bound us, that we needed released from? Was that what was binding us? No. It was sin that was binding us, and we understand that. Look here in the previous chapter, Romans 6, starting verse 10. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Yeah, the law of sin and death. But alive to God in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin, What is sin? Transgression of the law. So read it that way. Do not let transgressions of the law reign in your mortal body. Stop sinning that you should obey it in your lusts. It is sin that we are to die to, family. Sin. That which is defined as breaking God's law in 1 John. Everyone who breaks sin breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. That's what he said. And all too often, because Paul lets the context determine what law he's talking about, people mistake him for meaning the law of God instead of the law of sin and death. And that can't be stressed enough. You've got to understand that when you're reading him. Because Paul simply lets the context determine what law he's talking about. And so it's very important. We must understand that God's law never bound anybody. As referred to in chapter 7, verse 6 that we read. It said It said we are to continue to serve the law, right? But now in newness of the Spirit, right? Because that's what the Spirit's sent to do. Okay, following the teacher. The old way of serving the letter of the law, where we were to write it, it didn't work. It failed, like we talked about. But now we're to allow the Holy Spirit to write it on our heart. And that's what he means, serving in newness of the Spirit. The law is not something that binds us ever. You know, how could that be? If the law, here, Psalms, Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn of your righteous judgments. That's how the Bible talks about the law, as being perfect and right and just and good. That's not binding, okay? If it's the law that binds us, how could it produce blessings? Are you blessed? Seriously, think about that. Bondage does not produce blessings. It produces pain. It produces heartache. So when we think about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, I don't know about you, but I recognize it as a good thing, as a great thing. It's an awesome thing. It's really very much a turning point, another turning point in the plan of God. But how could it be a bad thing? I mean, if it's a good thing. So surely that doesn't mean bondage, right? The Holy Spirit guides us to obedience. Why? To bring us blessings. That law doesn't bind us. It brings blessings. And I'm going to read to you basically 13 verses of Deuteronomy 28. And as I read this, guys, listen. Let this soak in. You know, this is God, and he's talking to you. Okay? And be encouraged about what he's saying to each and every one of us in this. And understanding that the Holy Spirit guides us in obedience to his law for this reason. Listen to this. Not to bind us. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments. This is what he says he'll do. This is a covenant. He can't go back on his word. That the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the things that you set your hand to, I'm going to bless them. The increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. So shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouses, and in all in which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Does this sound like bondage? The Lord will establish you as a holy people, a set apart people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. The Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give you the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You will lend to many, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to observe them. So was it the law of God that bound His people? No. Was it the breaking of God's law that bound them? No. Let me tell you, you could continue to read this chapter and read all about the curses. The curses that come from disobedience to lawlessness. But the flip side that we read here is the tremendous blessings that come from obedience. And it's the Holy Spirit that comes to remind us, to walk with us, to do that. Why? To bless us. This is why we get excited about the Holy Spirit, because this is, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, if we follow the Holy Spirit, this is what comes. And what does the Holy Spirit drive us to do? To search His Word, to listen to His Word, to obey God. Blessings that come by way of the Holy Spirit come because it's that Spirit that writes that law on our hearts. And having that law written on our hearts produces these blessings. So yeah, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, it's a pretty great thing. I guarantee you, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. No, I'd just be enmity against God, just be warring against Him. It's His work and everybody else in here. So now we see that we serve or obey. You know, people don't like that word, but okay, so what? We do that in newness of the Spirit by having the law written on our heart. With the Spirit bringing to mind how we're to live and pointing us to those very directions found in the Word versus just the written letter of it. That's what you know, the Spirit, the teacher, takes that, like I was telling you, that textbook, and it enlightens it, doesn't it? It brings it to life. A good teacher, that's what they do. Okay, they begin to understand. The teacher can impart the meanings, the real meanings, and the underlying reason or spirit of those of that teaching. Okay, and so when you take the written law only, and this is what Paul was talking about, he wasn't trying to get rid of it, and this is because he understood what Yeshua was teaching, is that when you take that. And just look at that written part. You rarely get the meat of it, okay? And so, like that example of what I was talking about with the Pharisees using Corban, right, to excuse their dismissal of the fifth commandment. Same kind of thing. You know, they just, by just looking at the written part, you just try to weasel around it, right? Okay? And here's another example of that in Luke. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. And when Jesus saw her, called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which you ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord answered and said to him, "Hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from his bond on the Sabbath?" And when he had said these things, all the adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So while the letter of the law still applies, it really goes a lot further into the reason for the law, into the spirit of the law. And so think about it for a moment. When you think about Matthew chapter 5, that's where, of course, Yeshua gave his Sermon on the Mount, gave the Beatitudes, and it's the part where over and over he said, "You have heard it said, but I'm going to tell you," right? And he gave, if you know, like, "Have you heard it said that you should not commit adultery, and I say, you know, even to look upon a woman," right? That kind of thing. This is where we actually see Yeshua addressing the teachings of the Pharisees. And there is no doubt that some of the things that they had heard were actually written in the law, right? Yet he doesn't address them as written. He addresses what was spoken of them. You follow? And so it was the teachings that he was addressing. All right, listen. Just listen. This is the thing. One of the things. Just as Christ brought, you know, in that example, what did he do? He brought full meaning to the written law, didn't he? That's what he taught. So just as he did that then, this is what we need to understand. That's what the Ruach HaKodesh does when it comes and begins to write that law in our hearts. He takes that law and he brings it to fullness. He brings it to remembrance. Christ in us will show us how to apply it. Just as he was showing them how to apply it, he's saying, I'm going to put my spirit in you and I'm going to write that law in your heart that way. The spirit in us is the spirit of Yeshua. And that spirit does not do away with the law. It expands it. Just like he did then, his spirit is doing in us, in our hearts. That makes sense? Okay, Romans 7 again. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Of course not. On the contrary, I would have not known sin except through the law. For I would have not known covetousness unless the law had said, "You shouldn't do it." But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was once alive without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. Good old Paul. So in accordance with verse 9, what's he say? When he was made aware of the commandment, then his sin was realized. In other words, it was there. Haven't you ever done that? You've been doing something and then go, "Oh man, I just realized I was doing that all wrong." That's what he's talking about. Okay, so sin was there, but now it was realized because the law illuminated it. I realized it. Okay, it's like putting together something and you're putting it together wrong, and you, like me, you don't look at the directions first, and then when you screw it up, you finally go, "Okay, well, let me look at the directions." Okay, so then you go look at the directions, and you go, "Oh, I realize, okay, now that's what." That's what he's talking about here. And so then in verse 10, he says, then the commandment, which was to result in life. Why? Because when you live according to the commandments, you get all those blessings. You're in alignment with your Creator. There's life in them. And so they were given to give you life, but then he realized, "I'm not doing it right." Okay? And so something that was designed to give me life actually brought death because I wasn't doing it. It's not really that hard to understand when you break it down. Because bear in mind, when Paul is talking here about death, it's actually a good thing, right? Didn't Yeshua say in Mark chapter 8, if anyone would come after me, what did he say? He must deny himself, take up his stake, and follow me, because whoever wants to save his life is going to lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Death is not a bad thing. There is a part of all of us that has to die, and that's what he's talking about here. The part of us that must die is what he's referring to. Let's go to verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, is it bad? Is the law, do we need to do away with it because of that? No! The law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. And so it is the law that Paul calls here holy, righteous, and good that reveals our sin to us. And this is so that we may recognize it, okay? It's revealed to us, okay? So that then we can walk, we can repent, and walk in the ways of Christ. So when we respond to those who would say, well, I don't know all the law, how can I... You know, how can I be reminded of something I don't know? Well, that's the answer that Paul is saying is that once the law is revealed, it's not revealed all at once, right? None of us have had that experience. You know, God's gracious to us. He loves us. He meters out what we can handle, and we deal with it a little bit of a time. But he's also saying that once we have had that revealed, we're responsible for it. Okay? Yeshua said as much. John 15, he said, if I'd not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. Why? Sin is a transgression of the law. If you didn't know that law, okay, then that sin is not applied. But now, they have no excuse. How does Yeshua come and speak to us now? He comes through His Spirit. And He reminds us of the same thing that He reminded them of, that He taught them, and that's the Word of God. He comes through His Spirit. John 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the teacher's not going to come. But if I do go away, I will send it to you. And when it's come, it will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I hope it's becoming clear what the purpose of the Spirit is. It's not to make me talk gibberish. It's not to make me fall back unconscious on the floor and any other nonsense. The Ruach HaKodesh brings everything of the Word of God into our minds, into our hearts, to teach us, to train us, to help us to walk in obedience to God's Word and His instructions. And so walking in the Spirit is walking according to God's law. For the Spirit is there to bring it to our minds, to teach us and lead us. So it is expanded so that we know how to apply it to our lives if we're listening, if we're in tune to it. Okay? Consider also what Christ said regarding the Spirit. He said this. We're going to try to move along here. But He said that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You will receive power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power. What is this power? We need to know what that is. What's He talking about? Now don't guess. It tells you. It says the power enables them to be witnesses. Now think about that for a moment. Just kind of settle in on that. As we've established, the Spirit will bring everything Christ said, which what did he say? He said he brought the Word of God, and teach us all things. And what does that do? That gives us wisdom. There's wisdom in the law. There's knowledge and there's wisdom in the Scriptures. So what is the power? Or is this the power? The knowledge of the Torah. I want you to look at and compare Proverbs 24 here. It says that a wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. That's power. Could it be that the knowledge and wisdom that the Spirit teaches and reminds us of is the very power needed to overcome the world and be an effective witness? Think of it. What did Christ do when he was tempted? We're not going to go there. We don't have time. But when he went into the wilderness, what did he do when he was tempted? He went straight to the Scripture. He went to the Word of God. That was his power to overcome. Exactly. And what is that? That Word of God is the very thing that Christ said that the Holy Spirit would come and write in our hearts. That's the power he used. That's what he said he would put in our hearts. And that's where the power comes from. All melds together. The very thing that is to be in our hearts by way of the Spirit of the new covenant is exactly how Christ overcame. After he overcame, you know, it was only after he overcame in the wilderness that Luke records in chapter 14. It would be that late, or way early. I don't know. Chapter 3, verse 4, or chapter 3 or 4. Remember that Yeshua then returned when he came out of the wilderness. It says Luke records that he returned in the power of the Spirit. And then news spread about him throughout the whole countryside. Right? So could it be that the Spirit teaches and reminds us to walk in obedience, and that then that obedience, that's the pattern that he did. He went in the wilderness, he used the Word of God, okay, and he overcame, and then he had the power to go out and do his ministry. Okay? And so could it be that obedience results in supernatural results in our lives too? It makes sense. Because it was after Christ did that he began to do all these mighty things. Okay? Alright. Power comes from wisdom, and wisdom comes from the Word of God. Power comes from wisdom, and wisdom comes from the Word of God. So could it not be that the power spoken of here is the power which comes from walking in the Spirit, which we have seen is obedience to the law? There is power in obedience, not bondage. And Yeshua's life demonstrated that mightily. I should point out here that we're not talking about just obeying the law, okay, the letter of it, and, you know, walking through it. What we're talking about here is believing, trusting, right? I mean, there's a difference there. I mean, really trusting that it is best, okay? Because I think that's what the Holy Spirit really yells at me more than anyone. He doesn't yell. He just, you know, grabs me by the back of the neck. Anyway, and I think that's most of it, because it's when you really understand that law brings those blessings, that law is right and just and good, and that everything really that you desire out of life is going to come from leading your life that way. That is what incites that desire to go see more about it, right? See what I mean? That's when you're really trusting, when you're really believing, is when you're saying, wow, that's a gem. Like the parable, like the guy, you know, went and bought the field because he knew there was treasure there, and he sold everything he had and went after it. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. It gives us that desire. That's Him writing it rather than us writing it. You see what I'm saying? Because then it's a desire. I'm trying to think of another analogy. It's like if you if you're some sort of an investor and you find out that there's some guy giving away investor secrets and he's got a manual and he's made lots of money. Well, what are you going to do? If you want that, you're going to dive in to all of the things that he says. This is how you got to do it in order to get this result. Well, we read about a lot of results, a lot of blessings that come. And where do they come from? They come from the law of God. And if we really believe that, if we really trust that, if we're really saying that God is good for His Word and that He means it, then we're going to search for that. We're going to go, okay, what is that? Because that's what I want. So that's a difference between yearning for it and trusting in it and just saying, okay, well, okay, I got to do this and I got to do that. I got to do this. See, that's law. It's the same law, both sides, but it's two entirely different ways of looking at it. And that is what God says. That's the difference between that law on those tablets of stone and the Holy Spirit coming and writing that on your heart where you just, I got to have it. Praise God. Come on. Come on. Galatians 3. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? By the joy that he wants it. It's that faith in the Word, trusting in those promptings and the teaching of the Spirit that produces that obedience, which in turn produces that power that he's talking about. It's faith and it's action working together. Shema, Hebrew, Shema, hear and do. Is this to say that the Spirit can't move in somebody that doesn't have a full understanding of the law? No, it's of course not. But to that which is given, be excited about that, and then the Spirit can move along, right? I think it's safe to say that everyone believes that we grow in the Lord, that we grow in grace and knowledge, but we have to be on par and accepting that which God gives us as we go along. If we're excited about each thing that we learn to come into obedience of and be in alignment with, then the Spirit gives us some more and we continue on. But guys, listen, if someone begins rejecting that which the Spirit gives them, then it just bogs everything down, okay? Is the Spirit going to continue to try to teach and educate? And, you know, you don't move on to third grade until you got the stuff in second grade down pat. At least you're not supposed to. So, you see what I mean? So, could we not consider that, what the Bible means about grieving the Holy Spirit? We're told in Ephesians 4, don't do that. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. For some today, when they hear that the law of God is not done away, they scoff, they ridicule, they throw up a wall. They simply can't accept the things of the Spirit that are being written on the hearts of believers. Paul addressed this multiple times, 1 Corinthians 2. He says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Of course not. I don't know about you, but I didn't. Before I had the Spirit of God, before He began to work in my life, I could care less. I didn't receive those things. They're foolishness. The things of God are foolishness. We are called fools to some people. Because he says they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Because that's from the Spirit. Now they'd be quick to say here that the law is not spiritual. They would say, okay, so this doesn't apply because the law is not a spiritual thing. And they would be sincere about that. But they'd be sincerely wrong. Because you read their favorite author, Paul, he says, we know the law is spiritual. How much plainer can that be? Okay? And so because of this understanding, these individuals many times unknowingly find themselves fulfilling Romans 8. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject. It doesn't subject itself to the law of God, and it can't. Why? Because the power to do that and the promptings to do that don't come from it within us naturally. They come through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so don't let this be you. The point of Pentecost is for this not to happen. The Spirit of Yeshua is poured out so that we might be taught and reminded of God's instructions, and by following them be blessed. Blessed with power. Don't deny the power. What's the power for? If the power is to direct us to righteousness and to be a witness to the nations. I'm going to say that again. The Spirit of Yeshua is poured out so that we might be taught and reminded of God's instructions, and by following them be blessed with the power contained within them for righteousness and to be a witness to the world. That's the point of Pentecost right there. Obedience to the Spirit as He reveals the law to us enables us. It enables us to walk in the power of the Spirit. And don't forget that Yeshua Himself said, we read it right away, that the main purpose, His words, was to remind us, to bring to remembrance all the things that He taught. And what did He teach? The Word of God. So again, literally, to walk in the Spirit, given on this day of Pentecost, means to listen to and be subject to the promptings of the Spirit to apply and obey God's Word. I'll end by reminding you of the prophesied promise given to Ezekiel. And I want to talk about this a little more in discussion, because this is the fulfillment that we celebrate today. And this is, we want to make this real, okay? I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I'm going to take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Let us not forget how Christ informed us that the work of the Spirit is to remind us. It is the promised writing on our hearts. That's what it is. That's why it's come, to write it. That's the new covenant. And so walking in that Spirit is walking according to God's law, for the Spirit is there to bring it to our minds. And that's the point. That's the point. The sending of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to write the law in our hearts, which manifests itself in our desire to understand and walk according and be able to apply God's instructions in our life. And it's that desire, that obedience and application of God's Word manifest in us, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. To deny obedience to God's law is to deny that power. Think about it. Have a form of godliness, but deny its power. And how do they deny that power? Well, the law is done away. I can't keep that law. That's the power. They deny the power. The power and indwelling work of the Holy Spirit is not revealed in gibberish language or uncontrolled flopping on the floor. It's revealed in obedience. And the joy of obedience, and the seeking of those blessings of God's Torah. Amen.